Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Hello and welcome to Where To Go. I'm James Atkinson, brand manager at DKI Witness.
And I'm Lucy Richards, senior editor at DKI Witness.
And we're doing a bit of a sort of special episode in between seasons today. So we've just ended our third season by talking to the wonderful Kate Mann.
Yes.
And we are going to be starting our fourth season very, very soon, and more to come on that later.
Yeah.
But we thought we'd just delve into some of our own travel plans alongside some very special guests from the DKI Witness team today, with travel sort of well and truly back on the agenda, finally.
Hooray!
So, you know, as borders open up around the world, we thought it was time to just look at what travel plans we're making, where to go, which is the name of the show, right?
Exactly. And bang on brand there, James.
Absolutely. And and just answering a couple of your travel questions too. You know, we put an ask out on social media and on our newsletter and have asked some questions, and wonderful listeners have sent in some brilliant brilliant questions, which we're going to attempt
Thank
to
you.
Answer. Fingers crossed.
Yes.
We do some good ones.
But yeah.
But thankfully, we'll have the help of some of our editors to do so as
yes,
well.
Yes, so. Exactly. So, James, where are you planning on going in 2022 then?
Right. So I'm actually going on Friday. So pretty soon.
Ah.
I'm going to Antwerp in Belgium.
Cool.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest, I didn't know much about it before. So the long story of long and short story of this is that me and a few friends had had a cycle ride planned for May 2020, taking the Eurostar, and obviously it got cancelled.
Yeah.
And long story short, we've ended up with some Eurostar tickets that we've really had to use quickly. So
yep.
we sort of picked a town and have just gone for it. And Antwerp is actually, I've been reading up on it quite a bit this week. It's the world's diamond capital. That's not why I'm going. not planning on
buying yourself a lovely diamond ring.
Sorry to my partner. unless I'm bluffing, maybe it'll be a surprise. But it's actually quite a cool cultural hotspot. So there's a few really interesting museums. There's a museum about European emigration to America.
Yes.
Which sounds really interesting. There's some cool sort of like fashion and flea markets there as well. I think it's got a kind of studenty vibe as a town, which will be quite interesting too.
Cool.
And yeah, so that's my immediate travel plan.
So this isn't, because you often do cycling trips with your mates. This isn't a cycling trip. This will be more kind of cultured and eating and boozing and...
Yeah, as I said, we intended to use these Eurostar tickets to try and go cycling at some point, but then we just couldn't predict in March that the weather would work, and we were running out of time to actually use these tickets too. So, but you know, I'm hoping that it'll be a fun sort of semi-lightly boozy weekend with friends in a European city, which is basically one of the major things that I've missed, really.
Yeah, I totally agree. What more could you possibly want? Those are the highlights of life, aren't they?
Absolutely. And there's Belgian beers there, of course,
Even
which
better.
Is Yeah, absolutely. But my dream place to go this year will come as no surprise to you, and it is Northern Spain, San Sebastian,
yes.
Bilbao. And I believe you can guess the reason for that in terms of...
I'm guessing that was our Basque Country episode with wonderful Marty Barclay.
Oh my goodness. I mean, I have been looking up flights and stuff on a weekly basis since we recorded with Marty. Listener, if you haven't heard that episode, Marty is incredible.
Yeah.
She talks so passionately about it. And it, you know, I've been to Spain before. I've been to different cities in Spain, but I've never really been to the north. It's always been on my list. And Marty kind of pushed it right forward there. So I'd love to go to San Sebastian, try the restaurants out. I'm excited about the food, but also just, you know, the kind of hiking walks, like the countryside as well. Yeah. I think she really sold that side to me as well. So
absolutely. That sounds wonderful. Well, Marty will, I'm sure, take you for a vermouth somewhere or
yes,
gin tonic.
Yes, absolutely. So Marty, if you're listening, get ready. and how about you, Lucy? Where are you planning to go this year?
So I think we probably will come on to this later because I've had a little look at some of the questions that have been sent in from listeners. But I am going to Italy in a couple of weeks' time. So I'm going to Florence and then on to Rome. So that's kind of my immediate spring trip, which I'm just so excited about. I feel like Italy's having a moment. But also Italy is just always a good idea.
You can't really go wrong, can you?
You can't, because you've got the food and the drink and the architecture and the art and the language and the shopping, and it's just wonderful. Sort of dream trip. I'm swinging between two, and they couldn't be more far removed from each other. I'm swinging between Nashville and Bangkok.
Ooh, interesting. So Nashville, I know you worked on like a local Nashville. We obviously had a really fun episode with Libby as well.
That's right.
In the last season, who
Libby
was
Calloway.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Like kind of really took us around. But Bangkok, where's that come from?
So to be totally honest, my best friend has moved to Bangkok. So the appeal
course,
is that
yes.
I will then have a personal tour guide.
Shout out to Poppy.
Big shout out to Poppy, Pops. Hope you're listening. I mean, I've never really been to Southeast Asia. I've been to Bali, and I've been to Singapore, and that's pretty much it.
I mean, that's a lot more than where I've been to in Southeast Asia, which is nowhere. So that's
okay, good.
I've only been to Bali and Singapore.
Yeah, I know. Cody, I did sound really smug then, didn't I? Sorry. I know, I'm cringing. I'm really, really keen to go. I think I just know that we're sort of about to enter the really hot season and the monsoon season. So I'm sort of thinking Nashville will probably be better in June time, and then Bangkok might be more December or even January 2023, which is mad to be thinking about 2023. But, you know, this is what life's all about. So it's nice to book in these trips and catch up on what we've missed.
We're always thinking about publishing in 2023,
yeah, exactly.
etc. So we may as well plan our holidays that way as well. And yes. I think, you know, we've got to make up for a lot of lost time as well, haven't we? So
exactly.
Why not plan more holidays? So, yeah, I think that... that all sounds great. So we're going to now speak to a couple of our team here at DKI Witness and find out a little bit more about where they're going in 2022. So we are delighted to be joined by Elspeth Baylis. Welcome, Elspeth.
Hello.
Hi, Elspeth. It's great to have you back on the podcast because, listener, you may have heard Elspeth talk on a few of these before. we're going to quickly find out Elspeth's sort of dream destination for 2022. So, Elspeth, where are you planning on going to?
So this year I'm planning on going to Provence in France.
Ooh.
Oh, lovely.
It's a classic.
I mean, my first like kind of, it's a classic. I mean, anytime someone mentions that, I keep on thinking of like the purple fields
yes.
and stuff like that.
And
then I think immediately to my stomach and think of food and drink as well. So ticking all the boxes. And the big question is why would you want to go to such a place?
Well, obviously the food and drink, as you say, is a massive draw. Actually, what's motivated me this time though, is I really wanted to go on holiday somewhere by train. So trying to cut down a bit on flying, reduce the carbon footprint. So looking at where I could get a train to, basically, weighed up a few options. There was an amazing route through Italy to Sicily, where the last bit, the train goes on a boat to get to the island at the end.
Oh, wow.
Which sounded amazing.
That sounds amazing.
But a little bit far. So I think for first try, going a bit closer to home to France, and I thought, where else but Provence? All the food, all the beautiful landscapes, and the sunshine.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, wow. Do you have like a particular place that you're aiming for then in Provence?
So getting the train down to Avignon and then just a little place in the countryside about an hour away and just hunker down, read some books, do some walks, go for some bike rides.
That sounds delightful, Elspeth.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful. And you know, quite like, how long is that going to take by train as well?
It's not actually that long. So I think from London to Avignon is about 8 hours all in. So actually, I think like when you factor in getting to the airport, checking in, et cetera,
sure.
It's probably actually about the same amount of time. Train from London to Paris and then Paris straight down to Avignon.
And what time of year are you planning on heading there?
September, so hoping to avoid the crowds. I think sadly that means we'll miss the lavender, but fewer people.
Yeah, fewer people and lots of lovely autumn colours and glasses of wine.
Exactly.
What more could you want? So, Elspeth, while we have you, you obviously edited our wonderful cycling Bible Ride. And we had a listener, Sherry, write in and ask us a question. We thought you'd be the perfect person to answer it. So Sherry asks, what are the best bicycling trips in Europe that include fabulous food and wine? Very important question.
I'm imagining Provence might come into this.
Yeah. That's a great place to start. I mean, I think anywhere in Europe, essentially, everywhere's got their own regional specialities. But specifically wine and food. So I think there's the Via Rhona in France. So that's in southern France, and that goes through Chateau Neuf de Pape. So obviously big wine area there. And then I think it goes through Lyon as well. So
it does, yeah. Massive gastronomic capital of Europe, pretty much, in a way.
Exactly. Lots of food options there. And then where else? I think Tuscany is a great option. Anywhere in Italy. I mean, pasta and cycling are the perfect complement for each other. Tuscany, you've got like the Chianti region, so lots of good wine there. And then I think the other one I'd say is the Danube Cycleway, which goes from the Black Forest in Germany to Budapest in Hungary. So it is a very long ride, but you can do shorter segments of it. And that goes through the wine region in Austria. And what I think is the best bit about this ride is obviously all that delicious Central European cake that you can eat along the way. So lots of great food there.
I was going to say, like, you start off with like Black Forest Gâteau and end up with Borscht, right?
Exactly.
Best of both worlds. That sounds amazing. And quite a few of those rides are actually in ride as well, aren't they?
Yep. They're all in ride. So look in there if you want more inspiration. I mean, like I say, I think any of the Europe rides in ride would be good for good food and wine.
Absolutely.
So next up, we're joined by Zoe Rutland, one of our wonderful project editors. Welcome, welcome.
Hello, Zoe.
Hello.
It's great to have you back on the pod.
Yeah, for the second year, isn't it?
Second year in a row, yeah.
A regular.
Absolutely.
So Zoe, tell us, where are you planning on going this year?
Well, when I joined you last time, I was just staying in London for the summer.
Yep.
But seeing as I haven't left the UK for 2 years... Yeah. There are a few places I have in mind for this year, but I've actually just recently booked my next trip, my first trip. So I'm going to Amsterdam at the end of April.
Oh, great.
Going there for about 4 days, I think. As much as I've been craving sun and sea, I've not been to the Netherlands and, can't think of anything better than eating waffles and mooching around art galleries and pretending like I'm going to cycle down the canals, but probably would be too scared to get on a bike.
And how much of this was inspired by, because you've worked on our like local series, Zoe. So yeah. Amsterdam was one of the titles. Was that one of your titles or?
It wasn't, but having booked it, I've realised that the last day that we're going to be in Amsterdam, it's the King's birthday, which the Like a Local informed me about. And apparently it's the day when everyone across the city comes out for concerts and flea markets. And I think they dress in orange. So I feel like I've kind of hit the jackpot as well as it being tulip season in the Netherlands. So I've just finished working on Gardens of the World, which is actually due out next month.
Yep. So 7th of April, I believe.
Yeah. So I feel like I've got all this knowledge that I need to put to good use. So hoping to see some beautiful blooms across the city, maybe go outside of the city to see them. Not sure yet, but yeah, I feel like April seems to be a really good month to go.
Yeah, just like with spring has sprung and kind of combining the like a local garden side of things, really.
So
you fought long and hard about that.
combining all of my knowledge and all of the team's knowledge has been good.
It's a pro and con of the job, isn't it? That you read about these places all day. But we're not going to them every day. But then at the same time, when it comes to planning a holiday, actually, they're amazing for them planning our trips.
Yeah. And the rest of the team are, because Lucy, you're due to send me some brunch spots that I should go to.
That's right. Thank you for reminding me. I will do that for Amsterdam. Yes.
So, yeah.
I mean, yeah, I was going to say, it's listeners might be surprised that some of our editorial team haven't been anywhere in 2 years, but it's because we haven't been able to necessarily go anywhere in 2 years.
Yeah.
So we've got a couple of reader questions. Some that we thought we'd tackle with you, Zoe. Mainly because of your expertise in doing Like a Local. So I know you worked on the Like a Local Tokyo guide, and I believe you've worked on a couple of our Italy titles as well.
I'm working on Like a Local Florence at the moment.
Ah, yes, yes. So our first question comes from Vittorio, and he says, "Hello, guys. Congratulations on your gorgeous podcast. Here's my simple question. Which month is best to visit Japan?"
Well, I guess working on Like a Local Tokyo, going into it, you kind of think that cherry blossom season is going to be here, there and everywhere. But it was quite surprising to read copy that focused on like the more autumnal seasons, lovely like fiery reds and oranges that you get across the city's parks. I think it's around November that there's like the autumn leaf viewing season. I also think that, you know, going to see it in the autumn, not only is it beautiful, but you're not getting as many of the crowds that you would get in cherry blossom season. I think, trying to find a place to picnic under the cherry blossoms is so difficult. And it's a good alternative. But obviously cherry blossoms are beautiful, and plum blossoms are also pretty big in spring there.
In kind of looking up this question, I kind of went back to our episode with Lucy Damon, the wonderful Lucy Damon, who also wrote for Like a Local Tokyo, and what she said, which was just avoid summer, was the main gist of it. It gets far too hot, and it's quite sticky. I think she was quite concerned that the Olympics were being held in the summer as well at that point. I think she spoke really, really highly of autumn and also winter as well. She said the air was like really, really fresh. So
yeah,
I think that's a really good tip, and she speaks a lot more about that in episode 2 of our second season, if you want to go revisit that. So moving on, we have another question that we wanted to tackle with you, Zoe, while you're here. That question comes from John Park, and he asks, "Can you recommend a small town to visit in Italy that is traditional and not too touristy, somewhere authentic with reasonably priced accommodation and restaurants, preferably not 20 miles along a dirt track?" So when I was like thinking about this, I immediately thought of Tuscany, and I think that's because you're going there. Is that right, DC?
Yes, I am going. I'm going to Florence in just under 2 weeks' time. I think we're very much staying in Florence, and then we're getting a train to Rome. But that said, I mean, I could have very happily have then just stayed in Tuscany and essentially wound my way around lots of Tuscan towns and villages, sipping Chianti.
Yeah. Yeah, that's basic. That's basically the way this question took me, was like those kind of like Tuscan towns, villages. Watching the Stanley Tucci Italy documentary probably like kind
it's
of
my,
was on my
it's
mind.
It's like
as well.
My safe space, that show. It really is. It's just he's just wonderful, and all the food and the passion and, you know, just all the locals, and each city is so distinct. And I actually booked Italy before Searching for Italy came on iPlayer, and I'm feeling like I've hit the jackpot. I've got all of these, you know, recommends from Stanley Tucci.
I mean, yeah, my stomach is grumbling at the thought of it. It's, but yeah, Zoe, did you have any... So some of the places that I'd written down for this, and looking at Eyewitness... DK Eyewitness Italy as well, were San Gimignano, which is pretty famous, home to the big 13 towers. That's a really famous one. Lots of people go there, but affordable accommodation is available and it's super beautiful as well. But like nearby, I was really taken by the descriptions of Montalcino. So hilltop village in the heart of the Tuscan vineyards, home to Brunello, one of Italy's finest red wines. And there's lots of sort of wineries inside the city, the town's fortress. And then Pienza as well, which I think features in one of our cycle rides in Ride, but which is a UNESCO World Heritage Site, sort of redesigned by Pope Pius II, who was born there. And it's kind of used as a blueprint for like kind of Renaissance villages across Europe. So those were my quick recommendations. But did you have anything else, Zoe, that you wanted to...
Yeah, well, I've actually been doing my own research on this because, like Lucy, I want to escape to Italy sometime this year. And yeah, that kind of that Tuscan vibe is what I want to go for. But I would say that a few of the contributors that I've been working with on Florence Like a Local have suggested that actually San Gimignano is starting to become quite tourist-led and attracting a lot of crowds. So as an alternative, they suggested San Donato. So it's roughly 45 minutes from Florence. And it's the kind of hilltop village that you spy kind of winding your way in a car.
Oh, lovely.
Nice.
Yeah, kind of like scarf blowing in the breeze, that sort of thing.
Lovely.
And then when you get there, you've got little streets, and I think they all lead to like a cobbled piazza. And that's the place where the locals kind of go throughout the day to gossip or watch the football. So it all feels very local, very relaxed, but without the crowds that some of the quote-unquote more quaint Tuscan towns are now getting.
I think San Gimignano is kind of, yeah, it's kind of come up, hasn't it? And it's kind of like become famous as a nice example of those Tuscan hill towns, and that influence is spreading too. So I think that's potentially a really good shout, Zoe.
Do
let us know, John Park, if you manage to make it there, and where you go, and if our recommendation was good. Hope it was. And massive thanks to you, Zoe. Thanks for your recommendations today.
No worries.
Okay, so next up, we are delighted to welcome a pod debut for the first time today to the wonderful Bella Talbert, who's our brand executive here at DK Eyewitness. Welcome, Bella.
Welcome, Bella.
Hello, thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be on.
Well, at last. Yeah. At last we've got you on.
Yeah.
Exactly. It took some convincing, yeah. But we've dragged you onto the podcast. But yeah, Bella, we want to find out where you're going to go, or where you want to go this year.
So this year is a bit different for me, because normally I am like a complete city break kind of girl, your standard culture vulture. I just want to go to museums and I want to walk around, and that friend who's like, guys, it's 9 a.m. You know, we're wasting the day. We have to go now.
Yeah.
I'm not saying
you have a schedule.
Yeah,
you have an itinerary.
Well, I'm not saying minute by minute, but I'm saying I have things that I need to tick off. I need to do them. And, you know, why would we take public transport when we can walk and see more of the city and stop at every cafe, go to every bar? So it's the kind of holiday when you come back, you feel like you need a holiday from your holiday.
Yes.
So exhausted.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
So this year is a bit different because obviously with the pandemic and everything, I haven't been out of the country for 2 years now. I've been living in London. And I think what I really need is just absolute switch off kind of break. Like I feel almost guilty saying like, all I want to do is lie by a pool. But all I want to do is lie by a pool.
You don't have to feel guilty, Bella. It's fine.
No, you do, you, Bella. Yeah,
exactly.
Well, I just, this is the year for it. So with all that preamble, I think the place for me is the Greek islands because, because of that sound, Lucy, that's exactly why. it's just...
Because where's better to lie by on a beach or by the sea or by a pool?
Right? Like, where can you have a nicer time? Like, I've never been, but it just looks like heaven on earth. And
so you've never ever been?
No, I've never been to Greece at all.
Oh wow.
Yeah, I know. For someone that studied history and things like that, it's like probably should go. I know I'm going to enjoy it. That's the thing. It's not, you know, I know I'm going to love it.
Absolutely.
So I'm looking at the Cyclades, which is what people, when you say Greek islands, that's what people think of. It's that white and blue villages and it's the amazing sunsets of Santorini and Mykonos and that kind of place. I think from what I've looked at, what you get with the Cyclades is a lot of variation. So you've got places like Mykonos that are quite glamorous and you've got a bit of nightlife, but then you've got a lot of quiet villages and sort of rural, like a slow kind of life, which sounds great.
Yes.
And then you've also got places like Delos, which is one of the uninhabited islands. It's a UNESCO World Heritage Site and it's just like lots of ruins and legend has it. It's the birthplace of Artemis and Apollo. So it's got that kind of like Greek legend aspect to it.
Great.
I think, and I'm not going to make a checklist. I'm just going to go. And I'm
just going to go with what the flow.
Just like, going to go with the flow.
Yeah, yeah. And if I lie by the pool all day, that's fine.
Yeah, that's
absolutely okay.
Fine.
No one's judging. No one's forcing you to do anything.
Yeah, so exactly.
Stack of books beside you, Bella.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm thinking. Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah. Cocktail in hand. Lovely.
One thing I know about the Cyclades, they've got the Cycladic houses as well, right? Which that sort of like nice, like white domed kind of like almost caves in a way.
Exactly, yeah.
Which both look really, you know, good photogenically, but actually you can stay in some of them as well, right?
Yeah, yeah. And they've got this sort of all these like winding little alleyways that, again, you would have just seen all over Instagram. But it's kind of, I read that on Mykonos, it's because if they were being raided by pirates, it's kind of like confuses them.
Oh, really?
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting.
I thought that was quite cool.
That's a good little tidbit.
Yeah. it obviously looks like a place that'd be amazing on your Instagram. I almost just want to switch off my phone and do nothing, to be honest.
And I think, as you say, if you've lived in a city for the past 2 years and you've been confined to that city, to be somewhere with vast outdoor spaces where you can just flop and relax and detox from all your tech. I think, Bella, that sounds just what the doctor ordered.
Exactly.
And if you decide to, like, you know, get back into civilization and stuff, it's right there. Like, you've got, you know, especially in places like Santorini, there's like quite sizable towns, there's restaurants, there's culture, there's Greek food, obviously. And then, you know, perfect for like kind of like exploring, going for a drive and stuff without going too far away from home as well. So
and you know, if that old feeling in me of like I need to do a city break comes up, then I could always fly into Athens and do a bit of Athens for like 2 nights.
Great,
like best of both worlds.
Exactly.
Why not?
Love
do your hyper itinerary plan and then just chill out afterwards. That totally makes sense.
Actually, Bella, we've had a question that's very relevant to this from Jay, and so Jay asks, and this is I love this question. Jay asks, my daughter is fixated on Greek myths and is desperate to travel to see where they took place. When would you suggest is a good month for a mini road trip? She's not great with really hot temperatures, so I'm guessing summer may not be great. What do you think, Bella?
That is a very good point, because actually, similarly, I've been in Italy in places like, Herculaneum and Pompeii in the height of summer. and there is
no shade.
Yeah, it's so exposed. I've been honestly, there too.
Yeah, and then like you're just standing out in the open with like sun beating down and like listening to obviously really interesting talk. But I remember there being people in the group were turning green and like sitting down because Brits, I don't know if this is a British person, but Brits, we don't do that well in the heat.
No, no, I definitely don't.
So yeah, it is a good question.
And you want to be focusing on the history, right?
When you want to be able to take it all in. You don't really need, it's not the best time to have scorching heat, definitely. So yeah, I'd say April and May would be good times. I guess April, you've got Easter, which is a big deal in Greece, so you've got quite a few events will be going down. May, you'll have really nice temperatures, good for seeing, like it would be pleasant, not too hot, you'd be able to see the ruins, I think, with no issue.
And I guess the country would be starting to bloom as well, which if you're driving through, you know, Greek, because often when we think of Greece, we do think of the islands, which you've just described, Bella. Yeah. But on the mainland, if you're going on a road trip, it'd be lovely to be driving through, you know, sort of flowering landscapes.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, it's funny. I mean, this is no coincidence, I'm sure, Bella, but like some of your advice is like chimed in with what's written in our book, Where to Go When, which obviously talks about Athens in April. And as you said, like big Easter celebrations. But also it not being particularly too hot. And I think Athens does get very, very hot in the summer. And one of our recommendations in that book as well is Crete in May. And it talks about the lowlands being draped with colourful flowers, temperatures being mild enough to explore the playground of archaeological treasures.
Yeah, because I think this is really nerdy, prepare. But I think Crete is where the Minotaur, the labyrinth.
It is.
The Minotaur is
based. Oh, cool.
So that would be a really, if you're, you know, if you dig all the mythology, that would be a really cool place to visit.
Yeah.
And it's Greece's biggest island as well. So actually probably quite a good one for taking a road trip and going across. So there you go. Jay, let us know if you manage to go on your Greek road trip and let us know all the like history and stuff that you see
please.
As well.
We'd like pics.
And enjoy. And thank you. Big thank you to Bella for your recommendation too.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
That was wonderful. Thank you so much to Elspeth.
It's
Zoe
brilliant to have
Bella.
Some of the team come in and, you know, give their recommendations and having Bella on the podcast as well. I don't know why we haven't had Bella on before. So congrats to Bella on making her pod debut. That will not be the last you hear of her, I'm sure.
No.
But yeah, and, you know, some brilliant places too.
Exactly. And hopefully will, you know, inspire people to think about their own travels in 2022. And, you know, the world is... the world away.
Yes, and
but we do. And on that note, actually, we have a question that you and I wanted to answer from one of our wonderful listeners.
So our final question that we're going to be tackling today comes from Shansang Wang, and they ask the kind of question that I mean, I've kind of picked this question out because we've been asked it quite a bit. in our sort of outreach to listeners. And their question is, has COVID made it impossible for any travelling experiences even after we get back to the new normal? As I say, we were asked a couple of questions around COVID regulations, around like what to do. We are not experts. We do not like, you know, we're not the policymakers. And we also don't have a crystal ball as well to like see what happens really. My kind of general thought about it is not at all. I mean, I think I went on a cycling trip to France. I did the Canal du Midi in sort of November time, and it was beautiful and really, really pleasant. There was extra forms to fill in. You had to do a passenger locator form. At the time, I had to do a test coming back into the UK as well. In a lot of places, we had to show our kind of barcode to show that we'd been vaccinated too. But all I'd say is, like, you know, all the information is there. Check your country's guidelines, the country you're going to's guidelines. But in the same way that you would prepare to, like, have your boarding pass, have your seat, have your, you know, be ready for your trip, get your travel guide, obviously. A little bit biased there. You know, just kind of make sure you have all your paperwork lined up and you'll be absolutely fine.
And it will be absolutely worth it as well. Even if it requires a bit of research, as you say, James, you do that anyway before a holiday. Yeah. Check countries' websites, make sure that you've got everything you need, but it will be worth it after 2 years.
Absolutely.
And a lot of these places, you know, they do want people to be coming back, so you'll be doing your bit to support those communities.
Absolutely. And you know, we've it's been a long time since we've gone out and seen the world, really. And certainly the sense that I got when I went back on holiday, when I left the country, firstly, it's amazing to be on a plane again.
Yeah.
I never really liked traveling by plane before, but it was really fun. I felt like a kid again. But also, you know, everyone was super welcoming, really, really friendly. You know, it's a real novelty, and it only takes something like a pandemic to realize how enjoyable these experiences are and how we sometimes take them for granted, I think.
Absolutely.
I would say, you know, do get back out there. Lots of countries and cities have adapted and are willing to welcome travelers back. I think, you know, we've tried to cover this in our DKR witness guides. There's lots of like outdoor recommendations in our new editions. There's outdoor dining has wonderfully become part of the norm now, which is brilliant. You know, it's not just Italy. You can do it in most places now, provided the weather, obviously.
That's key.
You know, it's also a chance to, all of our lives have changed during lockdown, but, you know, take on some of the good stuff as well. If you've been walking and hiking in lockdown, if you've been, I don't know, doing a cookery course or a language course or something like that, this is your chance to like get out there and do it. And you know, I think there will be some restrictions around the world for maybe the next year or two. As I say, we don't have a crystal ball, we can't predict it. You know, things may get worse, they may get better, but take the opportunities you can to travel. Certainly worthwhile. Have you got anything to add on that, Lucy?
I think you've summed it up perfectly. I think, yeah, as we say, it's been a difficult couple of years. Don't be put off by, you know, doing a bit of extra admin and doing your research. Just get out there with your travel guide and just make the most of being able to have these freedoms back again, because who knows what the future holds. So just get out there.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, whilst you're getting out there, why not share your experiences with us as well? So you can do on social media at DKR Witness. And, you know, this is the first time we've taken reader questions on the podcast. And it's been brilliant to hear from you. I'm really sorry we haven't been able to answer them all. Maybe we'll tackle a couple in our new season, which is coming up pretty soon.
That would be good. That's a good idea.
And,
yes, we should.
You know, if you have any questions in the future, do reach out to us at the email address is travelguides@uk.dk.com. But yes, speaking of season 4, very excitingly, I can confirm that our first episode is going to be in Los Angeles. So
yes,
we're going to Hollywood. Oh, yeah.
Brilliant. Exciting.
That was said in the most British and enthusiastic way possible. We are going to Hollywood. But yeah, it's so we we're really excited. We're going to be speaking to Javier Cabral there, who is really, really known for his love of tacos. But listener, look out for, follow us on social media at DK Eyewitness to you know, hear more about when that episode will be coming out. And you know, in the meantime, it's goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me.
And thank you very much for listening. See you soon.
Where to Go was produced by the team at DK Eyewitness and the wonderful Julia Baker. It was presented by James Atkinson and Lucy Richards and mastered by Johnny Coddington at Bottle Rocket Recording. For more information about DK Eyewitness, follow us on social media at DK Eyewitness or visit dk.com/eyewitness.
And don't forget to please like, rate, review and subscribe the show wherever you get your podcast. Your support means so much to us.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.